What I wish I would have known when I started detailing.
I'm Ivan.
I'm Nick.
And this is the DIY Detail Podcast. As we start detailing, things evolve. You know, we read different forums, we read different groups. In my day, we visited different detailers because we didn't have forums and we didn't have groups and we didn't have the internet. So, but first of all is listen to the people that have gone before you.
They don't know. Beep.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I'm new. I know absolutely everything. But the old guy that's been around for a while, nah, he's just old. So have a seat with someone that's been detailing for a long time.
Or maybe a fireside chat like this with a couple of old veterans. Well, you've been around a while. I've been, 6 years now? So I feel like that's a long time by detailing standards.
It is, yeah.
You know what I mean? Hundreds and hundreds of cars and all that. But, you know, I was actually the one who kind of came up with this idea because I, you know, sometimes you have these brainstorm ideas and it was like a light bulb. It's like, okay, here's what I wish I knew when I started detailing. One thing traumatized me very early on. I learned about the magic eraser, like the melanine sponge.
Right.
Melanine sponge. And I was detailing in someone's cold garage, mobile detailing in the wintertime in Utah. I didn't have any lighting. And I'm like, okay, I've got my rinseless wash and the melamine sponge. But it was like the last thing I did. You know, you do windows last in the detail. And I just got about half of her windshield. And I'm like, looks pretty good to me.
Yeah.
And she was livid. Like, one of those very difficult customers.
Yeah.
And within the first few days, she's driving into the sun. And sure enough, there's this clear line in her windshield, like on the passenger side. On the driver's side, it's clear. On the passenger side, it was totally dirty. And she called me up and wanted me to come to her place of work and fix it. And I was traumatized. And I was like, I will never, ever mess up windows again.
No.
And not once has someone complained about it since. But I've always been super, super, just every little nook and cranny and corner. And I'll spend 10 minutes on the windshield.
Right.
A little bit overdone. But like, if you're a detailer, make sure you get that interior windshield dialed in.
Right. And I always start my interiors at the driver's area. So console, dash, windshield, door panel, the driver's area. And the reason for that is that's when I'm at my freshest. That's when my eyes are wide open, I'm ready to go. And that's what the customer sees the most. You know, a lot of people, the back seat rarely gets used. The driver's area, every time the car gets used, we hope the driver's area gets used. So start there. That's when you're at your freshest. Your eyes, like I say, are wide open. You can see better. You're not tired. Do that first.
Do you put a cover over the wheel or anything like that? Because with me, I've got an air compressor out, and it feels like by the time I get back to the driver's side, I've thrown a bunch of gunk back on there through the force of my air mover or whatever.
Right. So another tip from an old guy. Use your compressor at the beginning everywhere. Let the dust settle, then go in and clean. So I've seen it too often. People use a Tornador gun or something like that, and they'll do the whole driver's area. And then they'll move to the passenger side or the back seat. And like you said, you get that dust everywhere. So a very simple technique is before you actually wash the outside of the car, get the compressor, blow out under the seats, blow out all those cracks. You'll make a dust cloud inside the car. But now that dust is just sitting on the surface. It's not embedded. Close the doors, wash the outside, let that dust settle. You're not breathing it in. And then start cleaning your interior, and the compressor is long since put away.
Another thing that I think I wish I would have known when I started is there is no such thing as perfection. And that's easier said than done from someone like me.
Right.
But there truly isn't.
No, and when you're a detailer, we all suffer at some degree of OCD. We're striving for perfection. Unfortunately, it never happens. You can get really close. But how much time are you spending to go from this is acceptable to the customer or even surpasses the customer's needs, desires, and wants to I'm trying to satisfy myself? And trying to satisfy yourself on your own vehicle, go for it. If this is a hobby, enjoy. Spend all the time you want. If you're doing this as a business, no. You want to satisfy the customer, not you.
I mean, this is one of those where I'm just actually learning it as I talk about it, but that one customer has informed so many hours of interior windshield cleaning. How do I take that piece of advice, that point of reference out in the ethos? Is that a word? The ethos?
I guess.
Ethos sounds like a word. Ethical thing. In the atmosphere, whatever. Yeah. In the strata. How do I take that and not let it emotionally affect me and turn me into like a window Nazi? You know right. what I mean? Like, how do I take the one person who noticed a door jam that wasn't clean and not freak out over door? How do I take the point of reference and not become too emotional about it for the next 10 years?
So it's called constructive criticism. And we're not perfect either. So you're not going to make the car perfect and you're not perfect. So you are going to make mistakes once in a while. One way to get around mistakes is to be methodical, is to have a standard operating procedure. And I don't care whether you're doing this as a hobby Saturday morning, you're just cleaning your own car, or you're doing this for a living and cleaning 20 cars a day. Having a standard operating procedure in place will make it more enjoyable for you. It'll make it more fun, and you'll avoid making mistakes.
And I've talked to Ivan about this before. Ivan, what do I do when something comes up? And you said, do you have kids?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have a standard operating procedure, and then you have the kids, right? You're making dinner, and then something happens. You just deal with it, and then you get back to it, right?
So right,
it's
exactly.
Not like, I'm like, well, what if this one stain, or there's this one thing, and you never taught me about that, Ivan. It's like, use your common sense.
Yeah. Right? Stains. One thing that I counsel a lot of people on when they have stains is, if you spent 15 minutes on that stain, it's never coming out again. Don't worry about it. There are ways around it. If your customer insists on getting rid of that stain, you can dye that carpet, you can dye that leather, you can refinish that interior piece quite easily, or you can get a subcontractor to do it. But after 15 minutes of throwing chemicals at it and techniques, if it's not gone, you're not going to get rid of it after that.
You're the business teacher of detailing and all this, and I'm a wear my heart on my sleeve.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I get emotional. I want to deliver for the customer. I want to get that detail so dialed in. And one thing you told me the other day, it's fun that I keep learning from you, is it's not your fault.
Exactly.
How do you, tell me more about that mantra, it's not your fault, to the detailer out there.
Right. So customer brings you a car. They spilled something on the back seat. That back seat looks horrendous because they spilled paint on it, we'll say. As a detailer, you're not going to get that out. You might make it look a little better, but you're going to spend 2, 3, 4 hours for the customer to go, yeah, but I can still see it. First of all, it is not your fault that the paint spilled in that back seat. So it's not up to you to fix it. And there are a lot of times when it's a lot easier just to say, I can't do this. Because for the customer, if you say, oh, yeah, I think I can do this, they're expecting you to do it. They're expecting it's now out of their wheelhouse. They don't have to think about it anymore. I'm paying this person to do it, and it's going to be done. And then you work on it 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. It still looks not right. Call the customer. I made it better, but it's not good. No. There are things that are actually insurance jobs. So one other example is mold in an interior. If there is mold in an interior, close the doors, don't even go near it. There are mold abatement companies for a reason, because mold is very dangerous for you.
I want to kind of piggyback off that, because the IICRC is a way that you can get certified mold, flood,
right.
Fire, carpeting, remediation. Like, that is the official insurance body in that sort of flood, fire, restoration
exactly.
world.
Yeah.
And I actually went to an IICRC training course.
Right.
It was a 2-day course. It was called CCT,
right.
Carpet Cleaning Technician School.
Yeah.
We learned about 5 generations of nylon, how to pre-treat, how to rinse, what you want to know about pH. I mean, it was super fascinating, right?
Yeah.
I forgot most of it. But you know what? I took enough out of it that I know 99% more than the guy who just started detailing, right?
Yeah.
And one thing the instructor, Dane Gregory, said, and I love this, is, because you're talking about wicking up. When things wick up,
yeah.
What are you seeing when all the stuff dries, right?
Right.
And ultimately, there's so much foam in car seats or whatever, and even on regular carpets in homes, the wicking can happen from the base of the fiber, and so it looks good when it's wet, and then it comes up and coats the end of the fiber when it dries, and it has this white, milky look, or if you have
yeah.
like really thin cloth seats, you're going to notice the wicking, right?
Right.
The ring of water, whatever. And if you could prevent the wicking, it doesn't mean that everything's gone, but it's a beautiful service. So what Dane said is, if the customer can't see it, it's not there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing, right? Because, like, you can't get everything. I mean, how much is under a cloth seat with the padding and everything? I mean, there's no way I could clean everything under that, but if I can get the top surface clean,
right.
I've done a great job.
Exactly. And that leads to another thing. You know, just back to that little thing, I had one little additional thing. I've said thing way too many times. But anyways, one little point to add to, it's not your fault. Customer has gone through road paint, and I've seen detailers spend hours with a plastic razor blade and all sorts of stuff on the inside of the wheel well. Most wheel well liners you can buy from the dealership, so not aftermarket parts, actual true factory parts for $50, and it takes you maybe 10 minutes to install. So why spend all that time cleaning it when you can just replace it?
Oh my gosh, I was down on my knees for 2 hours with a $1,000 steamer and the most high-powered degreaser I could find.
Yeah.
And I would watch one little road paint speck go away, even though I would like permanently whiten the plastic fender liner. And I was like, I have one here. And it's like, man, what am I doing with my life? There's got to be a better way to spend my time. And so what would you do? You go to the dealership and just ask them for it?
Right. And you just bill the customer for it. It's that easy.
How hard are they to install? What do I need to know?
Most of the times you need a screwdriver or something to pull little clips out, maybe an 8mm or Phillips head ratchet, and off you go.
We should do a video on that. Maybe it's a little bit technical for DIY.
But every car is different, but you can YouTube, go on YouTube University, and you just put the year, the model, make of the car, and fender liner, and you'll have a video. Someone has made a video on it before.
Ivan, have I ever told you that I really like your red shoes?
There you go.
Hey, shoes make the man. We all know this.
Yeah.
And so do wheels and tires. And that's what I wanted to segue to.
Yeah.
What I wish I knew about detailing, right? You see the beautiful detail shots of the barrel brush and the lug nut brush. And, you know, it's fun to watch, right? But there's a lot of detailing videos where guys are spending a lot of time on wheels. That's important. And for your own car, like, go to town. Have the most fun, whatever. It matters what the wheel looks like.
Right.
But here's what you kind of taught me a while back. And this was a detailing efficiency business tip.
Yeah.
And so let's just kind of, let's paint it as such.
Yeah.
You said, we never cleaned the barrels in my shop because a customer, for efficiency reasons, I'm sure you did, but customers never would come back and complain. So what I would do is I may do a quick barrel brush in there, but I'm focusing on the rim faces and making that tire really clean and then putting the tire lotion on it to really make it pop. So explain the barrel thing to me, because that saved me so much time over the course of my career. That's the one place where I thought, you know what? I'm not going to spend 2 hours trying to get every little baseball-sized chunk of brake dust that's been on for 10 years out of that barrel.
Exactly. Most customers don't even know what a wheel barrel is, never mind looking at it. They see the face of the wheel, they don't see past that. It's just a black hole past that. And we switched one day in my shop. So we used to clean barrels with the brushes and get in there, and that was for our own OCD. It had nothing to do with what the customer wanted. One day decided we're no longer cleaning barrels and we're putting it as a menu item that if they want the barrels cleaned, they're paying extra. Saved us an inordinate amount of time, made us more profitable. And in the 5 years after we did that, we had two people request their barrels be cleaned.
Yeah. Listen, as an OCD guy myself, that's one spot where I would save myself some time, because I remember talking to my stepmom one time. She was talking about, oh, you started this detail business, and well, let's talk about, you know, she's like an HR professional, and she was like talking about, let's break down the time, and she'd be like, you spend an hour cleaning the wheels? I was like, yeah, but you know, the shoes make the man, and and she was totally baffled, right? Which is this funny thing where it's like, here's the real world with real people, and here's us crazy detailers, and she's like, there's no way you're going to be profitable. And I'm like, but you got to do it. And so when you said the barrels thing, it kind of made sense to me. So if you're at home, by all means, you know, do a wheels off detail. Use our ceramic coating on the barrels, on the rim faces. It'll make it all way easier to clean. But when you haven't touched a vehicle before, and it's 5-10 years old, and you're trying to get the barrels dialed in, it's really difficult.
Yeah, and what we would do is we would spray All Clean, the APC, inside the wheel faces or inside the barrels. And then when we're pressure washing the wheel, we get in there with the pressure washer. So it's taking off the loose brake dust. It's making it cleaner, but we're not worried about getting it spotless on those barrels, and we're not getting in there with brushes.
What I also wish I knew when I started detailing is carpets and seats, if you get them wet, they take a really long time to dry.
Yeah, so the less amount of water you bring into the vehicle, the less amount of water you're gonna have to take out of the vehicle. So basically, if you could dry clean an interior, that would be the best.
Another thing that I wish I knew when I started detailing is that a steamer will help you if you're doing a lot of really dirty interiors. Now, we're trying to help you understand how to detail with the least amount of chemicals, tools, and just have you get out there and have fun, right? But when you go in the rabbit hole detailing, I found a steamer to be not necessary, but super, super helpful. When you start detailing especially, you're probably doing a lot of nasty interiors.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be demand for interior detailing.
Now,
the mommy van.
Yeah,
the cup holders with the gum and the coffee. There's just a lot going on. I didn't have a steamer on my second job, I think, and I figured out how to get one pretty shortly after
that. Now, one thing that in my shops, when we started, we had the extractors, we had the steamers, we had the air compressor. At the end, before we sold the shops, my employees would use the extractor on one or two cars a year. So one in 10,000, not a big number. Steamer was turned on every morning, and every night it was turned off. And it may have been used on one or two spots during the day. The air compressor, if you have to choose between those three tools, the compressor is by far the most useful tool of the gang.
100%. If you're a mobile detailer, it may be really difficult to bring an air compressor.
Right.
Which is where I think the steamer on the lower steam setting
yeah.
can actually help be both of those for you. And it's like, why would you add moisture? You're going to turn it into mud. Because you're meeting the moment. Because
right.
it's what you have. So if between your seat in the center console and all that stuff's in there and you need to blow it out, you don't have even a leaf blower, the steamer can get the force in there, can help. So it can double as your air compressor, but yes, air is life.
Yeah.
Air is absolutely fantastic. I love air.
Yeah.
Air is a huge thing.
So if you have to choose between those three, start with the air compressor. There's a lot of ways. So I've seen people, you know, they just got a steamer. So now they're steaming everything on the inside of the car. It's not necessary. The steamer for us, even when we first got it, was we would pass, you know, with our interior cleaner of choice and then just use the steam in the cracks of the door panel. You don't need to get it on all the door panel. Yes, steam cleans, it does a great job, but it can become excessive.
You know, detailing is sort of this intoxicating force, and it can draw you in from all walks of life.
Yep.
I used to be a TV news anchor, right? And
right.
I just love cleaning cars. Who'd have thunk it? Wasn't the handiest guy when I started, but I sort of figured things out on the fly. One thing I know this might sound kind of like common sense. Most people already know this, whatever. But take care of your tools, and they'll take care of you. Like, when I first started, I was throwing everything in my Subaru Legacy. Like, you wouldn't believe like,
it was
how
just
low.
A mound.
It was just a mound. I had a giant air compressor that I would stick in on the rear passenger side. Like, it would puncture leather. In you know, I have many leather punctures and door scuffs from just shoving piles of crap in there. Like,
right.
gallons of chemicals and a steamer. And, I mean, I had an air compressor like this size in my Subaru Legacy. I was making it happen, right?
Yeah.
And things just started to break. And what I realized on a job is if I have a broken tool, like I'm not making money that day.
No, exactly.
So a working tool is sexy to me. And it took me a while to realize like spend the time to coil up your hoses and your cords and just keep things organized because this sort of mound of chaos will come back to bite you in the end.
Right. And if you're detailing at home, if you're detailing in a shop, if you're a mobile detailer, after every job, detail your work area. Meaning you pick up everything. You make sure that everything is where it should be. That way, the next one you start, you're starting fresh. I've been to a shop where I did a training at, and they did a lot of auction vehicles. So they were literally just, they'd open the doors of the car, everything that didn't belong in the car just got thrown out on the floor. And they'd have piles on the floor. Went in there, did an efficiency training, and on every cart, we simply added a little garbage can.
Yeah.
That changed their world. Now it was clean. And they were running three shifts. So they were running 24 hours a day, 3 8-hour shifts. The people that came in at 4 o'clock replacing the day shift, they weren't very enthused to see the floor like that. But by the end of the training, now we had everyone in the shop trained and the floor was always clean. The carts were always organized and everybody's cart was identical. So an employee could switch carts off, not a problem. So it's little things like that that make it so much easier going forward.
Buy once, cry once.
Yes, exactly.
Buy nice or buy twice.
Right.
Quality does matter in terms of you know, your tool longevity as well.
Yeah. You know, you can go to, let's say, Harbor Freight and buy a polisher for $29.95. It's going to do the job. It's not going to do the job for long. If you're a home hobbyist polishing one or two cars a year, it's going to last you many, many years.
Yep.
If you're a professional, buy a professional tool. It just makes, it does make a difference. And someone can put a tool in my hands with my eyes closed and, you know, the whole David Copperfield thing where he can't see out. And I can pretty much tell the price level of the tool or the quality of the tool just by the sound and the vibration. And the lower cost tools, they have a little more noise and they have a lot more vibration. So having a better quality tool, they spend more time in engineering, they have better bearings, things like that. So you're going to get a quieter tool, you're going to get less vibration. The more you use it, the more it's going to pay you back.
What I wish I would have known when I started detailing. A very interesting podcast. The last one I'll say is, listen to this guy. I shouldn't have pushed back and doubted. You've got some wisdom, sir. Any final thoughts?
Yeah. The other thing is, as a hobbyist, you're in this for fun. If you're doing this as a business, you should also be in it for fun. Profit as well, but fun as well. And as the business owner, remember one very specific thing. Watch these videos. No, that's the Nick thing. But remember one thing. If you are not profitable, you are not providing good customer service because you won't be there to serve the customer the next time they need you.
Thank you guys so much. I'm super grateful for your time and your comments. If you have questions, go ahead, leave them down below.